You're listening to Raven, the talk show made on Women Talk Radio.
When you want stuff of a woman, it's your time to shine. Boom, women, turning your life around. Girl, you got the power, there's no you can't achieve. Can't nobody stop you if you believe.
Welcome to WPR Women Power Talk Radio, the show for the boomer women and the men who love them. Hi, this is Raven Blair Davis. I'm the host, and once again, we'd like to thank you for considering us and giving you your inspiration of the day and in empowering you to your greatness. It's 2009, and you know it, my friend. It is your time to shine. This week's unstoppable woman of power is Audrey Vallarani. Born to a working-class Italian Catholic family and raised in a very tough Boston neighborhood. As a child, she was surrounded by dysfunction, depression, bullying, and discrimination. As an adolescent, she endured neglect and a number of physical and mental abusive relationships. And as a young adult, she suffered several near-death experiences as well as significant loss, first with the death of her mother and then with the death of her best friend and aunt for whom she was named. For the most part, she was alone and on her own by the age of 19. But now she has risen from pain to power, and she has become to be a published author, a columnist, a freelance writer, relationship coach, creator, and host of her website, theaccidentalexpert.com, and the bootcamp for brokenhearted.com, as well as relationship expert for womensweb.ca. Welcome to Women Power Talk Radio. We're delighted to have you. Three ways to improve your self-esteem and relationships right now. Are you talking about right now?
I'm talking about right now. And you know something, listening to you talk about my history, I actually got a little misty because hearing someone else talk about that, it brought me back to how things used to be in my life and now what I have. I actually felt a proud feeling, and but definitely revisiting all of that, it seemed insurmountable at the time and very hopeless. So that's why I tell people, if I can do it, if I can come back from all of that by listening to my tips and advice, I think anybody can.
Well, we're certainly glad you're here to share from your heart. And speaking of your story, I know I gave the listeners a little bit about what you went through, and wow, I mean, what an amazing woman you are, and you truly did get past the pain to the power. Share a little bit of your story with us and how you got from that point to now.
Well, it was a rough road when I was younger. My parents didn't have a very healthy marriage, and I don't really remember much about my childhood. I don't remember really any good times. I have two older sisters who were pretty much grown by the time I was born, so it's not like I had siblings that I could run around and have fun with. But I remember as a teenager, I was very angry, and I was feeling the tension in the house, and I was feeling how different I was from other families who had, you know, my friends had brothers and sisters and mothers who were home and fathers who worked, and my dad was home on disability and my mother worked. So as I grew, I had a resentment in me, and I had an edge and a real unhappiness and anger towards life and God and anything, because I felt cheated. Mm-hmm. And so when I lost my mother, I had been just really thrown for a loop, because she pretty much took care of everybody and did everything, so I didn't know how to do anything to survive and keep myself, even as far as laundry and doing basic things. She always did that. And then I basically just went through the motions of life until my aunt, who was my best friend, passed away. And she was the one that sat with me while my mother worked and sort of raised me. And when she was gone, that was it. I mean, I really checked out mentally, and I think I was suicidal in my mind, even though I couldn't take anything and hurt myself. I just would wake up every day, excuse me, and just, you know, be angry at God because I had woken up another day and had to endure all that emptiness and pain. And I just hit rock bottom, and I looked spiritually for people to help me, and I found a minister, actually, at, I'm not even sure what, it wasn't a Catholic church, it was like a some sort of a Christian mission church, who just gave me some books to read, and I read the book When Bad Things Happen to Good People, which sort of made me feel like I wasn't so different and odd, and there was maybe some place I could find some answers. So I really had to realize that I was the only one who could help myself out of that, because I had no one around me. My family members, the ones that I did have, were still grieving for my mother and going through their own pain. So, and my dad sort of went off on his own. And so I really decided, am I going to end up doing something to myself one day to end my life, or am I going to find a way to change it? And the way I had to begin was by changing all the things in my mind, all the things I was telling myself to be true, which were not, all the negative, you know, the negative tape that plays in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change that, and that was probably the most difficult thing I had to do.
Wow, you are an amazing woman, and I want to just give you all the kudos that you deserved for getting through that, because I have been through that. You know, I suffer from low self-esteem in the past. Like you said, when you're put into that situation, you find yourself attracted to the same thing. So you follow that pattern until one day something happens to break it, and generally it's not going to happen on its own. You got to go out and seek help and get mentors.
Right.
What exactly is self-esteem?
How I was years ago on the brink of suicide. You get to that point when you feel like you have nowhere to turn. You've tried everything you can possibly think of, and there's no answers. There's nothing happening for you. It's just a cycle of going from bad to worse. And that is probably the worst case of low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
But there are less severe cases. If you feel like life is not bringing you what it is other people, if you're comparing yourself to others and you're like, why does this woman, you know, that I know or work with have all of this, and I just feel like I have bad luck, or you feel very disappointed in your life, you feel depressed, you feel hopeless. You don't really expect a lot of good things to happen to yourself. You don't know how to make them happen. You don't take risks. You don't go for the best because you think, oh, that'll never happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of have a negative attitude about yourself and life, and that is the signs that you have.
And you're always fearful of everything.
And you're always fearful.
Mm-hmm.
You figure, oh my God, it's sort of like you almost settle for having this kind of pathetic, sad existence because it's better than trying and failing.
Mm.
And that's the symptom of self-esteem. And what self-esteem is how you feel about yourself. Do you respect yourself? Do you like yourself? Do you love yourself? Are you blaming yourself for things? Do you consider yourself someone who's worthy of the good things in life and doing good things and being with good people? I truly believe that affects you throughout your life in every area, whether it's relationships, business, friendships, your schooling, I mean, every area.
When you're feeling that low about yourself and you don't have the respect or the love for yourself, it really hurts your relationships, not just with whoever you're dating or married to, but also with your friendship, because if you don't respect and love yourself, how the heck is anyone else going to?
Right. You set the example for people. That's why I think as a kid when I had all that going on and I was just miserable and unhappy, I projected that when I went out. So I pretty much set myself up to be a victim, and that's where the bullying comes in, and I was afraid of my own shadow.
Mm.
And the bullies out there, I mean, I was a prime target for that, and I was scared of my own shadow, and I was a frail little thing, too, so it's not like I could overpower anybody who wanted to pick on me.
Right.
But it comes from your childhood, from any influences, and you know, I'm not blaming parents for inflicting low self-esteem on people, because what happens is when you become a parent, you pass on only what you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if they learned a certain way of doing things or a certain way of thinking, that's all they know how. They pretty much are doing the best that they can, even though it might be substandard or not healthy for the child. And it's not only the parents, it's the surroundings, your environment, and as you grow up, it's the effect of the media, especially today, of advertisers, of anybody who's telling you you're not up to standard, you're not ideal, you're not the best you can be, and if you buy my product or do what I tell you to do, then you'll be one of the cool people. You'll be someone who's acceptable. Mm-hmm. And that really does a number on your psyche and on how you think about yourself.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that for a moment, because back in the day, back in the day, Audrey, there was no movie The Secret and all the empowering stuff. I mean, you know, of course they had Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich and stuff, but it was very low key. It was like a group of people knew about that. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't in that group, you missed it. Mm-hmm. So taking it back to where you were talking about our parents, unknowingly, they passed on what was passed on to them. And it was very common back then for us to hear, forget about that. That's a crazy idea. You're never going to be able to do that. You know, just be thankful that you're this.
Especially when it comes to relationships. I mean, our grandmothers and their mothers all, you know, you were about really serving the head of the household, who was the man, and women didn't work, and they didn't have the vote, and they didn't have, you know, the decision-making power. Mm-hmm. And as women struggled for that, I mean, we owe a lot to our sisters who did all of that, because it brought us, it was a big struggle, and it was it was a lot of pain and heartache endured in that, and everybody was against it. It was unheard of. But they broke through the barriers, and everybody got a little more enlightened about what it's like to be an independent person. And then women started doing more things, which again was met with, you know, criticism and this is so out of the norm. Mm-hmm. But they had to break that cycle of just service and doing what you're told, and that was a big part of it. And then when our mothers came along, there was a little bit more independence. I know my mother worked, but she basically handed her paycheck over to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a struggle up until our generation. I watched my older sisters go to work and go out in the world and make their own way. And even when I was a child, though, I was still watching my mother hold everything down and sort of put her opinion off and, oh, that's okay. I don't have to worry about myself. I just have to care for other people. So I think as the generations come up, we owe a lot to our older sisters and our mothers, but we have to not forget the struggle that they went through. And the ground that we've covered, and that it's okay to sort of look out for yourself. I mean, you can care for other people, but the best way to care for other people is by giving them a person to care for them who's at their best. And that means us taking care of ourselves.
Okay, so we talked about how someone can tell if they have low self-esteem. For those that may be just joining us, why don't you go ahead and mention those four or five things again?
You don't respect yourself. You don't expect anything really the best out of anything. You sort of settle. You're disappointed in how your life is, and you don't feel like you can do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're sort of feeling hopeless and like, oh, you know, this is bad, but, you know, I guess this is my lot in life to bear. And you don't really take any risks. You don't go out and strive
fearful.
For anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fearful of failure or, you know, of what other people might think.
And you know what else I want to add to that, and then we're going to move on to the next question. And that is, I remember feeling all the time when something fantastic or good happened to me, I would be happy for a moment, and then I would get really depressed and scared and worried, because it was like almost a too good to be true feeling. Okay, this happened, so what's bad around the corner?
That is so true, because you're so not used to it. You're thinking, I can't believe this happened to me. And when you actually say you can't believe something or I don't believe it, it's almost like you're pushing it away from you. You're making it such a novel thing that happened instead of expecting it and wanting it. I think when we expect the good and the good people and the good things and the good ideas, they come to us because we're open to them and we draw them to us. And when you've come to expect the negative and the bad, I think we sort of draw that to us because we're sort of almost accustomed to how to handle it, even though we don't like it. It's what we know.
Absolutely. Let's talk about how someone can get low or high self-esteem, and where does it come from, and who gets it?
Well, you know, anybody can get low self-esteem. It can happen. It happens to men and women. I think women being the more nurturers and the more relationship-oriented people, I think it basically happens to women more. And that's only my opinion with whom I've worked. I have worked with men who have had low self-esteem, but it's mostly what I've seen in the nesters, the women. And it can come from your childhood influences, like we said, our parents who didn't really know anything except for how their parents treated them.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the media. You can turn on the TV and see, or look in magazine, and you see this perfectly beautiful specimen of a woman, and you think, oh, I'm not that, so I must not be good enough, or I'm wrong and she's right. And it's basically, you know, nobody's really grown up with the fact that we accept ourselves for how we are, and we're always striving for perfection. And it really works on our psyche and our minds, and we criticize ourselves so much. And I think we are harder on ourselves than other people ever.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got to learn to give yourself a break, and you've got to learn to forgive and accept yourself. I think that's the real, it's tricky to do, and you have to learn ways to do it, but that is the real key.
So for all of our listeners, grab a pen right now, and I want you to write really big, I deserve a break today. Then go have a Coke and a smile. Do something special for yourself. You know, do something that someone has always told you that you couldn't do for some reason. Dig deep, go way back, and just say, you know what? I deserve to have it. I deserve to have it all, and I am going to get it and claim it. Go out there, do something special. It's important we take out those times to do something special for ourselves.
It absolutely is. And one of the things, I mean, you mentioned a big piece of it is doing something good for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when we don't know how to really improve our self-esteem, we do things for instant gratification. We go out and maybe buy ourselves a new outfit or do something that's going to make us happy and giggle in the moment.
Mm.
But that wears away.
It does. It really does. I have a closet full of stuff to steal.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I do too. And it's like, I want that. I can have that. That's going to make me happy. Well, it does for an afternoon or for an occasion where you're going to wear that new dress out. But the key is to find things that make you happy that last, that when you open your eyes in the morning, you smile and you're happy to be where you are in the moment.
Mm.
And that's some of the things I wanted to share with your listeners today.
Okay, and we're going to get into that in a second.
Yep.
But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk about self-esteem effects on relationships. I know there's a lot of people in relationships, whether married or just dating, and this is a new year, so we want to improve not just ourselves, but we want to improve our relationships too. You're listening to Women Power Talk Radio, the show that's for the boomer women and the men who love them. If you're 40, 50, 60 and up, we invite you to come here and to bring your friends so that you and your friends can be empowered and inspired weekly by unstoppable women of power, just like Audrey Villarante, published author, columnist, freelance writer, relationship coach. Her website, theaccidentalexpert.com. You can check it out while we go to commercial break, and also bootcamp for thebrokenhearted.com. Back with more from Audrey right after this commercial break.
America is obese. The food you eat has less and less nutrition. Your cells are undernourished, and people are dying from debilitating, degenerative diseases. In the top 1,200 multivitamins tested for the Comparative Guide to Nutritional Supplements, 709 of them had zero nutritional value. And with two-thirds of our nation being overweight, something needs to be done. Whether you want to lose weight or need help in combating degenerative disease, help is available. My name is Heshi Siegel. I can be reached at theprosperityconnection.usana.com or 215-493-1640. Let me help you evaluate whether this revolutionary lifestyle program is one that could make the difference in your life. Again, Heshi Siegel, theprosperityconnection.usana.com or 215-493-1640. Act now. It's your life.
Have you noticed that you need more hours in your day? Would you like to save thousands of dollars each year? Do you hate keeping the books for your business or find daily administrative tasks frustrating? We can help. We are Salter Virtual Assistants. Supporting you virtually is our business. Salter Virtual Assistants are college-educated, certified, trained, and experienced administrative assistants that work for you virtually. Traditional administrative personnel can cost thousands in equipment, salary, and taxes each year. Salter Virtual Assistants takes the hassle out of getting the assistance you need, saving you time and money. Contact Salter Virtual Assistants today for a free consultation. Visit our website at www.saltervA.com or call 1-888-480-7583. Assisting you virtually is our business. Again, that's www.saltervA.com or call 1-888-480-7583. Salter Virtual Assistants.
You're listening to Raven, the talk show made on Women Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to WPR Women Power Talk Radio. I want to remind you to be sure to check out our other shows, Mentoring from MLM Divas Live, with my co-host Lisa Kitter and I. We have this fantastic show for any of you that are in network marketing, direct sales. You won't want to miss it. It's two Wednesdays a month. Go to mentoringfrom-mlmdivaslive.com and make sure you subscribe to our newsletter, WPR News, so that you can find out when the show airs and who our guests are going to be. We always give away 5,050 free leads thanks to our sponsors, PM Marketing Network Leads. Also, be sure to check out Careers from the Kitchen Table. And that's for any of you that want to find out how to start a home-based business. We feature all kind of different businesses as well as motivational speakers and experts and gurus like Les Brown, Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen. Find out more by going to careersfromthekitchentable.com that airs on WARLAM Radio. What are the benefits to having a healthy self-esteem? Because there certainly has got to be some benefits of this.
The benefits are endless. I can't stress this enough. You have a feeling when you have healthy self-esteem that you are content in the moment. You're peaceful. You have an extended imagination. You get ideas. You start to make a list of goals you want, and you're not afraid to go after them. You're happier. You're more in control. You have self-confidence. You know how to set examples for people how to treat you, and you set limits with people, and you attract so many good opportunities and so many better quality people to your life.
Audrey, let's talk about relationships. How does self-esteem affect our current relationships or even our past failed relationships?
Self-esteem is the key to how we approach life and what we expect out of life. So what's exciting and what I hope women take away from this when they listen to me is that you have the power when you improve your self-esteem. You're in control. You're in control of your relationships. You're in control of the choices you make. It all has to do with that. So if you start taking care of yourself and looking for what's best for you and setting limits with people and doing different things, you control the relationship. Your loving relationships and your friend relationships, all the relationships in your life. And it's once you do that, you'll see how things change. You have the power to make things change. Your self-esteem directly affects your relationship. If it's low, we covered the reasons earlier, the symptoms of low self-esteem. It's the same in relationships. You don't expect much, so you don't ever take a risk by you know, trying to be involved with somebody who you think a lot of. You allow people to mistreat you or to disrespect you, let things go. You don't expect the best or the best quality treatment. So that is how low self-esteem can affect your relationships. If it's at a healthy level or high self-esteem, you're going to exude that, and you're going to draw people to you that will treat you as you treat yourself.
That's
the key.
That's a big one. Say that again, because that's really important.
Right. If you have a healthy or high self-esteem, you will attract people who will treat you the way you are treating yourself. They'll see you, the way you hold yourself, the way you walk, the way you take care of yourself as far as grooming, diet, health, whatever. If you're treating yourself well and only allowing the good and the pure and the healthy to be around you, that's how people will also treat you. If you're not going to care about yourself and have you know, language skills that you talk negatively about yourself, I mean, what can we expect from other people? They'll think it's okay. So you set the tone with other people. That's the biggest way in relationships that self-esteem has a real impact on them.
Mm. You brought up some key points. You mentioned the language you say to yourself.
Right.
Give us an example of bad language and give us an example of good language.
Okay, so I'm in a relationship and I'm sitting at the dinner table with my husband and I say, oh, I'm just not happy and I'm fat, so I'm not going to make any breakfast and I just feel terrible and I'm a mess and you know, it's negative coming out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're bringing that person down also. So, you know, at first, if it's not the norm for you, you know, somebody across from you might say, oh, no, you're not. You know, they'll be your cheerleader. But if it's how you are all the time, they're just going to see you in that light, the light that you have just described in yourself. Another example.
Okay.
If you say, oh, I'm so miserable at work. I hate my job, you know, but I don't know how to do anything, and I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life. And a person like that is usually messy and doesn't take care of anything because they don't like their possessions. They figure, you know, they have all, you know, beat up things. And you know, you're throwing your stuff around because you know it's not the best. So someone else is going to come in the room and throw your stuff around too, or figure you can't do anything anyway. You're stuck in that job. It's catchy. It's like a cold. It's like you pass it on. Now, if you're a person that sits there, good morning, honey. I made this healthy breakfast. How would you like some of that? And it's going to be a great day. You're raising the mood of the person you're around. They want to be around you. That too is catchy. Or you're saying, you know, I like my job, but you know something? I could probably get a better one. I'm going to learn how to do maybe bookkeeping because I don't like being a clerical worker. So I'm going to get training on that. And it's a very positive outlook you have in your life. That person's going to be, you know, your husband or your boyfriend or your partner is going to be interested in your excitement and your enthusiasm, and your people will be drawn to you. So it's basically a catchy, contagious feeling, and you sort of grow what you introduce into the situation. It does grow, and it becomes a cycle for you and the person you're with.
Fantastic. Wow. Okay, you know what? I want to talk about control in relationships. Why do we let people control us?
Well, so many people don't like to rock the boat. I think with women especially.
Okay.
I mean, men don't like confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
So they sort of, that's when they yes a woman to death. But women don't like to rock the boat. They make excuses for people that they love. And I want to say that again. Women make excuses for people because rather than think badly or negatively about people that they love, men especially in their lives, they'll make an excuse. Well, he was in a bad mood. Well, he doesn't usually hit me. Well, he didn't mean to do that. Well, I must have provoked it in some way. We love to make excuses because the alternate course of action is to face it, is to maybe go down a road that might leave us by ourselves, that might, you know, do some real housekeeping, that may make us look in the mirror and see how responsible we are in what happened, what role we play in that. But on an everyday basis, I think when people allow others to control them, It's to go along, it's to keep the peace, and it's pretty much I can tolerate this until it becomes so uncomfortable that I can't.
And then what we find is we are lashing out in some kind of way because we held it in so long.
It's resentment. Mm-hmm. We hold it inside, and then we blow up over spilt milk when it's not about spilt milk.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the 12 other things that you did to me or made me feel like I couldn't do or couldn't say or I couldn't go or couldn't be. And that's when it all comes out. And that's so unhealthy. And I think the challenge for women is to find a way to state what you feel or believe or want in a way that's not antagonizing, that doesn't put somebody on the defensive, that doesn't make you sound... women are so afraid of sounding... controlling or arrogant. And all it is language. All it is a way of expressing ourselves in a kind, sometimes professional, easygoing manner that states, this is what I need and want, and that's okay if you don't like it. It's okay if we disagree. It's not the end of the world. And it's okay if we don't do things together today because this really means a lot to me and that really means a lot to you.
Yeah, I think in relationships, people need to realize it doesn't always have to be a winner. It's okay to agree to disagree. And very few relationships accept that. Everybody thinks, well, I've got to be the winner of this particular, confrontation that we're having or discussion that we have. And sometimes you have to walk away with, well, we both may be right, and walk away and try to think about it, meditate on it later, and see each other's point and stop always trying to be the winner. It's okay to agree to disagree. Don't you agree?
I agree.
I mean, speaking of agree, don't you agree? Yeah.
I do. And basically, like 90% of our lives are made up of all of these little things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a question of your faith, your religion, or of a real moral decision or a value you have. 90% of the time are these little give and take things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to settle. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But I mean there's compromise. There's way for people to fight the bigger battles and to just accept the other person for their imperfections. I'm not even going to say flaws because none of us are perfect.
Absolutely.
And
none
it doesn't mean that we're wrong or we're bad.
Mm-hmm.
We're just all different. So that's a big key effort to make.
Well, you talked about ways. I heard you mention that key word. So let's move into ways. I've always understood that about you, Audrey, that you have three ways to improve self-esteem right now. Key word, right now. So, my friend, how can a person begin right now to improve their self-esteem? Inquiring Minds wants to know, what are those three secrets?
If you sat down today and you said, there are three ways that I'm going to improve my self-esteem today,
mm-hmm.
what can I do? The first way is to set a small goal. Something small. I don't mean change your job, go to college, get a new apartment. Something small. For instance, it could be clean out a closet that I've been meaning to do. It could be write in my journal how I'm feeling. It could be go and just to get something accomplished. And the way you do that is you set your goal on a piece of paper and you write down the steps that are going to get you there. Just in easy little steps, and you tick off one at a time. And the way you do that after you set your goal is the second step, and it's called movement. All it is exactly movement. When I was writing the book, my editor said, you should really find a better word. Movement is such an ordinary word. And I said to him, again, sticking up for myself,
mm-hmm.
I said to him, I disagree because it says exactly what I wanted to say. It's a physical or a mental move. If you're stuck, you're sitting at a desk all day or you're sitting at home all day on the couch and you have all these hopes and dreams and wishes and, oh, that's never going to happen for me. How can it possibly happen if you're still, if you're stuck, if you're not even mentally on your way toward that goal? You have to physically move. You have to pick up a phone, make a phone call. if that's one of the first steps to get you information to what you want to do, it might be go to the bookstore and buy a book. That's how I became an author. I went to the bookstore and I bought books on publishing and writing, and I just learned. That was my second step, the reading, the learning. The other thing is, in movement, is you could say, okay, I want to become a plumber. And it sounds crazy to everybody, and you start out and you start to be, you know, read up on a plumber, and then it's not quite right for you. You're still moving. So if you're moving, you can be sent in your right direction if you're heading down the wrong path. The key is to be moving down some sort of a path. Moving forward in some way. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is you sample things along the way, and you figure out, well, I don't like this. Well, I do like this. Well, this is more for me. This isn't for me. And whether you call it a vision, you call it God, you call it yourself, you call it life or the universe, you will come to find your place, but you have to move. Mm. And the third thing is, how can you overcome the fear to move? You ask yourself one simple question. What's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen if I attempt this goal or I try to do or be this thing? And you think about that and you write them down. Well, if this doesn't work out, I can always do this. Say you want to move to a place. I have a woman that I counseled, and I'll tell you right now, she was in the February issue of Woman's World magazine.
Wow, fabulous.
Yes, she changed her life. She was somebody that I actually let read my manuscript before it was published and before I got any sort of real counseling, coaching experience. I sat with her. Her dream was to move far away. She would work every day. She hated her job. She wasn't meeting any men. She was unhappy with herself. She hated the weather in Boston. She was unhappy, but she was sucking it up. She was doing it every day and being miserable. I sat with her and I talked to her, and what we did is just what I'm telling you today. We set the goal. Her goal was to move west. We made the steps that helped her to figure out how to do that, and that was the movement, the actual picking up the phone, calling a realtor out west, calling a realtor here to sell what she had to sell. I mean, these are some big goals, but this is just an example of how someone changed her life. And she was so afraid of doing this. From failure, she asked herself, what's the worst that can happen? So that she set up sort of safety zones for if she didn't quite make the move or she wasn't happy out there. Well, I can come back here. Well, I can live with my mother. Well, I can go stay with a friend in Texas till I get on my feet. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those
put
three
it together.
Things.
And not trying to figure it out all the way, just taking little steps, doing it and figuring it out along the way.
So you set a goal, you do one thing, which is movement, to achieve it, and you sit down and you think, what's the worst that can happen? You make a plan. And by even achieving one little check mark on your list of how to achieve that goal, not achieving the goal today, but doing one little thing towards that goal, you have improved self-esteem because you set in motion the fact that you can accomplish something. You have a check mark. You have confidence, a little bit more confidence now that you actually achieved something. You send the message to your brain that I can do this.
I can do it.
I can do it. And
I can.
And you actually become your own, I know it's a, sort of a phrase everybody uses, but you become your own friend, your own cheerleader in how to do this.
So that's a big one. I've learned that it's okay to tell myself, you did good, Raven. Don't wait for anyone else to pat you on the back and to give you praise on your accomplishments. You have to tell yourself that you did well. You have to pat your own self on the back because others may not do it.
And, you know, others may not do it, not because they don't think that,
mm-hmm.
which is what we feel. Oh, she didn't say she liked
right.
the outfit
mm-hmm.
because she must not like it. She could have 20 other things on her mind.
Mm-hmm.
She could be having her own problems that day. And she could have her own low self-esteem so that if she gave another woman a compliment, some people with low self-esteem feel like it takes away from them. They don't learn how to spread the goodness and the positive, that there's enough for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. Like you said, their mind could be on something else. Or, you know, some people have a hard time of praising others. It's a lot of reasons, but regardless of the reasons of why you didn't get the praise or the accolades you feel you should deserve, you should be able to tell yourself, I did good. Wow. Look at what I did. This is amazing. And feel good about it. And treat yourself out to dinner. Go celebrate on your own. Don't wait for others.
Right. It could be because they're not where you're at. They don't have the confidence that you've achieved. And that one little check mark that you will check off on your list today is an accomplishment. It doesn't have to be the whole goal. It's that you made that one phone call to find out the time that the bookstore is open, and you're going to go to the bookstore and get that book on that new hobby you want to take up or that new vocation that you plan for yourself. That's an accomplishment, and you have to give yourself credit for that.
You say that self-esteem is directly related, Audrey, to the choices we make in life. How so?
Well, it's what you expect. Am I going to choose the best for myself because I feel like I deserve it?
Mm-hmm.
Deserving is the key word here. Am I going to just assume that nothing's ever going to come of it or nothing's ever going to go well for me, so I'm not even going to try to get it? We have to choose. I always say to people, shoot for the moon and settle for the stars. You shoot for the best. You think you should believe that you deserve the best. And when we make choices and not settle, that also reinforces self-esteem. It's a circle. If you have low self-esteem and you just don't go for the best or the good or something better for yourself, then you're never going to feel better. It's definitely a cycle.
Mm-hmm. You got to feel good.
You've got to feel good. What makes you feel good might not make somebody else feel good, which is fine. But it's all about your choices for you, what makes you happy, what gives you pleasure, what makes you smile. It could be anything. One of my favorite things, which starts my day off great, and it's so silly, is a really well-made cup of coffee.
Sitting there, sipping on it, taking your time, relaxing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I appreciate being dressed in clothes that are comfortable,
mm-hmm.
that make me feel good. I enjoy having lunch with a friend just to sit and slow down in the middle of my crazy day at the office and slow down. You know, my goal doesn't have to be to hit the lottery this week or else I'm going to be miserable. So you've got to customize. Write for yourself what's going to make you happy. And it will differ than other people, but that's okay. It's what you want.
So I have a question for our listeners. What makes you feel good? What makes you happy? What makes you smile inside? Take a moment, close your eyes, visualize that. Take a deep breath and write that down. Then take action on it. Like Audrey says, move forward with what makes you feel good, because you deserve to have that satisfying, enlightening feeling that you know makes you feel great and will kickstart your day. Right, Audrey?
Right. I have a friend that walks around in those fluffy slippers that you see in the old movies.
Mm-hmm.
Women walked around in the heels with the big poofy feathery things.
Right.
She feels like a sexy dynamo when she walks around her house, and she's single and she has a son, and she walks around in her little pink robe and her fluffy slippers, and she feels fantastic.
Feels good. That's right. And that's her feeling, and she deserves to feel that way. And you, my friend listening, you deserve to feel fantastic too. So go ahead, close your eyes, visualize what makes you feel good. Doesn't that feel great? Doesn't it? Write it down and do it. You deserve it. Back with more with Audrey Valerani right after this commercial break. You're listening to WPR, Women Power Talk Radio, the show that's for the boomer women and the men who love them. I'm Raven Blair Davis, the host of the show, and each week we invite you to come on and listen to our unstoppable women of power that we bring here to feature, enlighten, and empower you, my friend. Yes, they're here to empower and uplift you so that you can have a smooth walk through your journey of life. How cool is that? Make sure you visit our website at www.womenpower-radio.com. Our celebrity interviews are on front, and our archive interviews of previous dynamic guests like Audrey are on the archive page. And if you want to download us and take us with you, go to wprtalk.podomatic.com. Upcoming celebrity interviews will be Fran Drescher. Stay tuned. Make sure you sign up for WPR News by going to womenpower-radio.com. And we're working really, really hard on getting that bionic woman, yes, Lindsay Wagner, very close to sealing a deal with her. So let's keep our fingers crossed. And you can be invited to the live celebrity interviews, so make sure you stay plugged in by going and signing up for WPR News. Back with more right after this.
How would you like to have a sexy new body that is absolutely captivating? A posture that will exude self-confidence and still be able to eat your chocolate? Pilates and chocolate, taking balance and control into every area of your life, starting from the inside out. Hi, I'm Kathleen Pagnini. In this new DVD, learn the techniques that you can use in every day of your life, from sitting at a computer, driving your car, or even shopping. It's about you, the real you that is screaming to come out. It will help you build on your strengths, master and control your cravings while you sculpt and reform your body in less time with better results. Pilates and chocolate, a new body, a new awareness, and a sweet life. La Dolce Vita. PilatesandChocolate.com. Appropriate for all ages.
Would you like to learn about the 9 simple and very easy ways to turn any telephone at home or office into a cash cow? That's right. I'm talking about making money using your telephone. Got your attention yet? Log on to www.telephonecashcow.com now to discover how to attract new customers, no matter what business you're in. With this program, you can also expect to learn how to properly cold call, how to plan an effective teleseminar, how to create an ebook right on the telephone, how to create an income podcasting, how to raise funds right through micro telefundraisers, how to plan speaking engagements right on the phone, and so much more. Why are you still sitting there? Log on to www.telephonecashcow.com now to take advantage of a very limited time offer. Don't have a computer? Call 800-431-0842. That's 800-431-0842.
It's time for our Boomer Diva Reporter.
Hi, Raven, and to all your listeners at WomenPowerRadio.com. This is Barb Ireland, Baby Boomer Reporter from the greater Chicago area, and I have some great news. Health statistics show baby boomers are living longer than previous generations. The National Center for Health Statistics has released the latest life expectancy numbers, which show that Americans live an average of 77.6 years, an all-time high. So rock on, baby boomers. This is Barb Ireland from MakeADiaperCake.com. Back to you, Raven.
You're listening to Raven, the talk show made on Women Talk Radio.
All right, we are back, and you're listening to WPR Women Power Talk Radio. Welcome back. Thank you again for joining us. And by the way, I can still say this, Happy New Year to you. Then this is 2009, your time to shine, so get ready, you unstoppable woman of power. A lot of you have said, Raven, I want to hear that song. You haven't played it in entirety. So we're going to play the Women Power song as we go off the air, because that song was created for all of us women of power. And speaking of women of power, we have our unstoppable Unstoppable Woman we are featuring, and her name is Audrey Valeriani, and she is here to talk to us about self-esteem, how we can go from low self-esteem to high self-esteem, and how we can improve our relationships by improving our self-esteem. I want to ask you, Audrey, what are some of the things women with low self-esteem no doubt do in relationships that is counterproductive or which sabotage? Oof, that hurts because I've done that. Relationships.
Well, and when you have low self-esteem and you're in a relationship, you're definitely insecure.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to jump to conclusions. You're going to ask questions. You're going to not trust the person. You're going to be so afraid of losing somebody that you're going to sort of let them do whatever they want to do, just as long as they don't leave you.
That's that controlling thing again.
That's that mm-hmm. controlling thing, and that's not good. What you've got to do is stop trying so hard. You've got to concentrate on yourself. One of the things I want to tell listeners before we finish up is the best approach to have to change things is to sort of free yourself of worrying. What's going to happen is going to happen in life. Worrying about it isn't going to change anything. As long as you know you've done your best in a situation, that's all you can do. Another thing you have to do, which will improve your relationship, is to concentrate on yourself and your needs. Because if you're the best you can be and feel, you're going to give that to somebody. And when you give that, they're going to see that. That's the example you're going to set. And that's what's going to come back to you. That's what that means. I also encourage women to go outside of your comfort zone. We get so comfortable in our routines. And then we get in a slump. We feel like life isn't, you know, exactly what we thought it was going to be. So how can it be if you're just sitting there comfortable? Think about what you want to do. Think about your needs. Think about what you want and go set some goals. List what it's going to take to get you there and go for it. I never thought a few years back that I would be sitting here on the radio talking to someone as lovely as Raven Blair Davis and all these women that I've been helping. I would have never thought that. And my first time on the radio and with other people, I was mm-hmm. so uncomfortable. But now I know it's where I'm supposed to be and this is who I'm supposed to be. And the last thing I want to tell them is, forgive yourself for the past. Your past does not equal your present or your future. Who cares who you were last week? Starting right this second, you can be whoever you want to be by appreciating things as they come to you, who you are, what you have, and loving yourself. And all of those things, believe it or not, will affect your relationships with other people. You improve yourself and love yourself, you're going to improve your relationships and how people address and love you.
You're so right. Wow, you have given us a lot to really meditate on and a lot to start taking action on starting today. So I want to encourage the listeners that to go back and listen to this again. Take notes along the way. And if you'd like to get the transcript on this, because I think it is something I don't normally do, but I think I'm going to go ahead and have my virtual assistant, Karen, transcribe this. If you want that, you can email me to raven@womenpower.radio. And we'll direct you on how you can go ahead and order that because this is just fantastic. What about women who say, I just can't find a good man, or who's had a string of bad relationships? Oh, I don't want another relationship. What do you say to them?
Honestly, I say, so what? I really do.
Get over it.
That's right. Where is it written that we're supposed to be with somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary to a lot of women because, of course, we want to meet somebody and we seek love and have relationships. But if you're so desperate to find it, you're not relaxed, you're not yourself, you're trying too hard, you're sending out that desperate vibe, which men can smell from 5 miles away. You're not concentrating on making yourself happy, which brings you joy, which emanates out and draws people to you. You're so worried about what you don't have
mm-hmm.
that you're not appreciative of what you do. And the minute you stop that searching and that worrying and that angry at life that I don't have this or that I got this bad guy in my life, let it all go. Concentrate on today. And there's lots of ways that you can improve relationship, improve your self-esteem, and draw to you what you really need to. But it starts with concentrating on yourself. And in Boot Camp for the Brokenhearted, How to Survive and Be Happy in the Jungle of Love, that's my book. It's on Amazon.com. It's in bookstores. I go through all the ways in which you can improve self-esteem. I go through the days in the life of an ordinary couple, and I talk about differences in men and women, and it will really help. I'm also available on www.theaccidentalexpert.com. I can talk to you about relationship problems or self-esteem issues, and also on www.bootcampforthebrokenhearted.com.
It was a pleasure having you here. Thank you so much for just sharing all this good stuff with us today. Boy, I feel enlightened and empowered and ready to go. My self-esteem is, rising.
Mine too.
And it feels great. Thank you, Audrey.
Thank you. My pleasure.
We'll have to have you come back later this year and talk to us more, because I know there's lots more that you have to give, and we want to get it all.
I'd love to. Thank you.
You've been listening to WPR Women Power Talk Radio, our featured unstoppable woman of power, Audrey Valeriani. Audrey, go ahead and give your main website again.
It is www.bootcampforthebrokenhearted.com.
You also coach people that's suffering with low self-esteem as well as relationships.
I do, and the first time you contact me, there's no cost. I mean, I help people right off the bat with just some written material, some talking, some email, whatever it is you need.
I recommend any of you that are in that situation, you're just feeling, how on earth is 2009 going to be my year? Get in contact with Audrey. She can assist you. Her book, I got it on my desk, red cover, very nice, Boot Camp for the Brokenhearted, How to Survive and Be Happy in the Jungle of Love. Check her out. This has been Women Power Talk Radio. My name is Raven Blair Davis. Signing off, remember, life is just beginning, and the best is yet to come. So don't ever let anyone keep you from your dreams and your visions. You can do it. You are worth it, my friend. So go out there and make it happen. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, yeah. You unstoppable woman. It's your time to shine. Boom, women, turn your life around. Girl, you got the power. There's no you can't achieve. Can't nobody stop.
Women Power Talk Radio theme song created and produced by Chuck Nice Productions, CEO Chuck Jones, sung by artist Annette Trina. This is copyrighted and cannot be duplicated.